While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Good morning, First Christian. Welcome, congregation and visitors. May you be blessed this day and every day. Please silence your digital devices and prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to Donna's prelude. Thank you, Donna. It was a nice piece. A lot of 16th notes in there. If you haven't already done so, would you please fill out the questionnaire that's found in your bulletin and put it in the offering so that the search committee can finalize the congregational profile and move forward with the search for our new lead pastor. VeggieTale helpers are still needed for children's worship this summer. You can contact Jennifer or Maggie Grooms if you can help. The office will be closed this Thursday and Friday in observance of Independence Holiday. And if you would please look over the rest of the announcements in the bulletin. Let's stand and greet friends and family, those people that maybe you haven't met before. And afterwards, we'll sing our opening hymn, O Worship the King, found on page 17 of our hymnal. And we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
So that we didn't get to do anything in his panelists and the players and music. He wants to do in his piano music rather than church choir music.
I understand that. I gave him some challenging pieces.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. I don't know, he just kind of wants to. She's coming back, so I gotta go. Please join me in the call to worship. Those who've gone before, place a mantle of faith upon our shoulders. What will we place upon our children and our children's children? May a covering of strength and a sign of love be theirs to carry. Please pray with me.
Lord, we stand today as our forefathers have stood before you in times gone by, celebrating our history and reveling in all the great things that our country has achieved. On this day, we rejoice in the favor you have graciously given us. We thank you for the blessing of liberty, for this generation, and for the generations to come. We thank you for our independence, peace, and for all those who have bravely given their lives in the defense of freedom and justice. We thank you that your gracious and provident hand has given us so much. Please pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise and prayer today is Spirit of the Living God. It's on page 259 in your hymnal. If you don't feel that you need the text to sing along, you may want to do motions to go with it. Lifting your hands up high when we sing Spirit of the Living God, bring your fingers down in front of your face. Imagine rain falling on you as we sing Fall Fresh on Me. When we sing Melt Me, you might bend forward in your pew. Imagine your body being relaxed before the Lord. Mold Me, bring your hands together like a potter shaping a vessel. Fill me and use me, lift those hands up. And then repeat, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Let us sing with our bodies and our voices. Amen. I invite our children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning. It's nice to see all of you today.
Today I wear my cross.
You wore a cross today. That's wonderful. Did someone give you the cross?
Do you know when it was almost Easter, and there was a, then there was an egg in my cubby?
Okay. It's from her cubby in preschool. That's wonderful. You know, when someone gives us something, they're handing something on to us. Just like if someone gives you a cross, when you wear that cross, you remember Jesus, and you might remember the story of where it came from. There's a word I would like you to learn today. It's kind of a big word. Can you repeat after me? The word is legacy.
Legacy.
A legacy is something that someone hands on to someone else. This morning, the adults are going to hear the story of Elijah and the legacy he gave to Elisha. Their names are a lot alike. Elijah came first, and he gave a legacy to Elisha to be a prophet of the Lord. Sometimes a legacy is something someone teaches you how to do. Has mom or dad ever taught you how to do something? Yeah? Maybe big sisters even taught little sister how to do something.
Yeah.
I bet there are a lot of things Mackenzie's going to teach Natalie to do. They just got back from a trip to the beach. It was so much fun. A legacy can also be a physical gift, something somebody hands on, like your cross is handed on. I have some gifts for you. Because the 4th of July is coming, I thought you might like to have an American flag.
You know, my birthday's on before July.
Your birthday is close to the 4th of July? That's exciting. Here you go, Mackenzie. There's a flag for you.
It's after this.
It's after that time. Okay. I also have some pencils. Do you all like pencils?
Yeah.
To draw a picture? There's a whole packet of pencils for each of you. You're welcome. Pastor Cynthia has been cleaning out her office, and I found these fun things. And I thought I would pass them on as a legacy to share. So thank you. How about we have a prayer together? Dear God, we thank you for the legacy of freedom that we have as citizens of this great country. We thank you for the legacy of faith we receive from those who go before us. We pray for moms and dads, aunts and uncles, teachers, grandparents who pass on faith and life skills. Lord, thank you for all the gifts that we receive and the gifts that we're able to give to others. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming today. And there was someone who lit candles this morning and was a little shy. I have a flag for you. If you see me after church, or you want it right now, you want your flag and your pencils? Yeah. There you go. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. There may be others on our hearts and minds today that we want to lift in prayer this morning. Our card shower is for Mary Schmidt. Mary is the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church. She was hospitalized for about a week with some lung issues going on, some breathing issues, having some tests done. Prayers for Mary. And for the members of First United Methodist Church, they have a new pastor arriving in town this summer. Prayers for their congregation. You might also want to write a card to Mark Williams, his wife Linda, their three daughters. Mark's brother Brad passed away unexpectedly about a week ago. Prayers of comfort for them. Brad's service was Friday morning at the Event Center. Mark spoke and did a wonderful job paying tribute to his brother, and Val read the 23rd Psalm. It was a moving time of tribute for their family. Prayers of comfort for them and for all who are mourning. We continue to pray for people living with cancer, including Mary Lee Stinson, Scott Whitcomb, Paul Halleck's grandson Eli, who is doing well. We're thankful for that. Those on our prayer list for health and other concerns include Rita Peterson's daughter, Frankie, Chuck Stewart, who continues to just be in gradual declining health, prayers for Joan McNamara as she continues to struggle with shoulder pain. She and Bob are off to Ring Lake Ranch for a couple weeks retreat, a wonderful place for a spiritual journey for them. Ed Struby will be moving from Elkhorn to assisted living or a nursing home somewhere in town. Prayers for Ed. Prayers also for Kim's mom, who's a new resident at Shepherd of the Valley Nursing Home, time of transition for their family as they clean out mom's apartment. Monica Decker on Thursday will be moving from Elkhorn to Shepherd of the Valley to do some rehab, some continuing therapy. While Cal regains his strength, having had a fall, he was at chapel this morning and doing fairly well, but he's just not able to take care of Monica at home, and she still needs to build up strength. So prayers for them. Our community and world concerns include Cindy Moraga, who serves as a missionary in Mexico, and prayers for the search committee and a future interim minister that God will call to come and lead First Christian Church Casper. There's a new poster on the bulletin board down at the end of the hall, a timeline that you can follow along when the search committee makes progress. It outlines 9 steps to get to the point of having a new pastor installed. We have already completed the first 3 of those steps on that journey, so that's a good sign that progress is being made. And as Amber mentioned, please turn in that survey questionnaire so the search committee can complete step number 4, which is the congregational profile. The Northern District met yesterday. Peg Jackson and I had a wonderful time driving down to Cheyenne together and visiting. There were representatives of 6 of our 9 congregations in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ from Northern Colorado and Wyoming. Among them was Lou Champ. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church Sterling, where Lou is pastor. The day began with a chance of each of those congregations to share what's happening and ask others to pray for them. Peg and I talked about life here in Casper and asked folks to pray for the search committee and the search process. Lou shared that Sterling has made a significant decision. Their church was built about 50 years ago, kind of in the heyday of Protestant growth in America. And the ambitious congregation had a vision for the future. They built a sanctuary that seats 500 people. And they do not have 500 people in worship. Their sanctuary is much taller than ours. The ceiling is a huge, steep, pitched roof. And Lou said they have been spending about $40,000 a year just on utilities. The building is aging and no longer meets the needs of the congregation and serves ministry well there. So they've made the decision to sell that property and relocate. It's a pretty significant step in the life of any church. He said they had a congregational meeting after many months of talking about it, and the vote was 90% in favor of the decision to sell. And someone made the comment, anytime you get 90% of disciples to agree on one thing, it's a sign of the Spirit of God. So they are moving ahead, but they ask for prayers on this journey. It's certainly a significant change for First Christian in Sterling. Are there other concerns that we want to lift today or other prayers we need to name this morning? Tom. So Tom May is taking a little time off of truck driving until the fall, and we look forward to having him around here and knowing he can enjoy bowling as well. Martha. Prayers for Martha Wallace's cousin, Carl, who was life-flighted in Pennsylvania to the hospital. The Rouse family would like your prayers today. They are driving to Denver to put Madison on the plane, and she flies to Orlando. This is her week of musical auditions, and it is quite a big adventure in her life. She's excited and nervous, so prayers that the trip goes well. It's a positive experience for Madison. She's able to sing as well as she possibly can and perform her best and feel good about this unique opportunity. Anyone else? Becky. Prayers for Dave Foster. Belle is still missing her kitten, and it is touching to know that there is a friend who's aware how deeply that touches your heart and continues to pray for you. Lee and Fran, it is such a blessing for us to have you here in our midst. Thank you for sharing today. Paul.
As we approach the served and continue to serve.
Prayers of gratitude for veterans and for those in active military service. Bell.
Prayers for Dan. He just keeps having more struggles.
Prayers for Dan. Let us hold all of these thoughts and prayers in our hearts as we come to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O God of all the generations, we thank you for the legacy of freedom passed on in this nation by those who have gone before. We give you thanks for the service of veterans and for the sacrifice of their families. We pray a watchful eye over all in military service and those who serve in various ways in harm's way. We pray for wisdom for America's leaders. O God of every generation, we thank you for the legacy of faith handed on from Moses and Miriam, from Abraham and Sarah, handed on by Peter and Paul, James and John, Mary and Martha. We thank you for the legacy of faith at First Christian Church in Casper, Wyoming, for three women who were members of Christian Women's Fellowship in 1921 and met with a state evangelist. And the conversation centered around whether or not a Disciples of Christ congregation, a Christian church, should be founded in this place. Your answer to them was yes. And a year later, 300 were gathered for worship. We pray, O God, for your continued blessing upon the legacy of this congregation, to watch over our elders and board, every member of the church, our search committee, and future pastors. Lord, we pray for the Church Universal and the countless ways in which the legacy of the Christian faith is handed on from one generation to the next. We pray your blessing upon First Methodist in downtown Casper, upon their associate minister, Mary Schmidt. God, we ask you to bless First Christian Church Sterling, especially as the congregation looks at selling their property and moving to a new location. Be with Lou Champ and continue to bless with wisdom his leadership. God, we pray for Cindy Moraga and the work she does as a missionary in Mexico. And we pray for all of those that we have named today. God, we give thanks for the legacy of Brad Menzel's life, for the difference he made in the lives of young people in this community through being such a strong leader in the Junior Football League. We pray for his brother Mark, for Mark's wife Linda, for their daughters, Jamie and Sarah and Val, as they miss Uncle Brad. Lord, we pray for those who live with cancer, that you would be present through courses of chemo and radiation, that you would be present in the lives of researchers and doctors trying to end a disease, and be with family members who care for one another. Watch over Scott and Tricia. Watch over Eli and his parents and his granddad, Paul. Be with Mary Lee Stinson and others. Lord, we pray for Chuck Stewart and Joan McNamara and Frankie, that you would bless them with health and strength. Be with Ed Struby and Monica and Kim's mom as they make life transitions to reside for a time or indefinitely in a place with greater care. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Dave Foster, with Dan Bilbesi, we ask your blessing to be with Lee and Fran, and thank you that you've called them here to this place, and they feel comfortable and know this is their church home, and they're always welcome. We join with them in praying for Belle as she misses her cat. We give thanks for animals who become a part of our lives and a part of our families. God, we join with Martha Wallace in praying for her cousin Carl. We ask you to watch over him as he receives hospital care in Pittsburgh. God, help the doctors to find the reasons why he passed out and an explanation for what is going on with his health that he might receive treatment. Lord, we pray for Madison. We thank you for the passion in her heart for music, for her desire to sing. We pray, O God, that you would watch over the Rouse family as they travel together to Denver and be with Madison as she flies to Orlando. Throughout this week, Lord, may your spirit calm her spirit, that she can be fully confident in the gift you have given her to express the joy of her soul through song. Lord, you know what Madison's future holds and what her life's path will be. On this journey, on that path, may she learn and grow and receive support along the way. Oh, good and gracious God, there are many prayers that we would name before you, but some of them rest silently in the recesses of our hearts. For sometimes, Lord, we don't have the words we need to pray aloud. We are thankful in those moments that even without human speech, you listen to your people. You see the needs of our lives. You know our deepest desires. And you know what is best. So we pray that your will may be done in our lives, in our families and community, in the church, and in the world. O Holy One, from one generation to the next, as we pass on the mantle of faith and Christian service, may your will be done. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. The theme for June's mission prayer calendar has been homelessness and Africa. It guides our prayers for this week to the Tana River County, one of the five poorest in Kenya, which is home to various ethnic groups. The primary form of subsistence is farming and livestock. The floods washed away their homes, their animals, and their livelihoods. In the Tana Delta, 4,909 households and a total of 9,539 acres of crops were destroyed. Our denomination, through Church World Service, supported the Kenya Red Cross Society in setting up camps for homeless and displaced families. However, the camps themselves created new challenges. Some are completely cut off from neighboring towns, making it nearly impossible to deliver necessary food and supplies. There are not enough mobile toilets in the camps. This and other factors, such as conflict among tribes and faith groups, creates further tensions and challenges. A grassroots approach was employed to address these challenges and provide aid, mobilizing and empowering the community to drive solutions. 40 local faith leaders in the community were brought together. They made a commitment to work with different constituencies to promote peace during the emergency and throughout the response. The result included establishing 6 food and non-food distribution committees, distributing food and supplies to 490 households, installing 7 water tanks reaching 89 households, installing 12 mobile toilets, successfully training 250 individuals in proper hygiene and sanitation techniques. Elsewhere in Kenya, we prayed the first week of June for Bridget Eel, who serves in a long-term healthcare volunteer with the Organization of African Institute of Churches. Her work is supported by Global Ministries through the Disciples Mission Fund. She reports that a Kenyan woman's risk of dying from causes related to pregnancy or childbirth is 1 in 53, much higher than the global risk of maternal death. An initiative to bring traditional birth attendants into the county health facilities is drawing more mothers to hospitals, helping to improve their chances and reduce the number of mother and child deaths. She prays for more resources to help Kenyan women and to help children under 5 years old whose lives are in danger from pneumonia, diarrhea, measles, dehydration, birth trauma, malnutrition, and low birth weight. There is also an interfaith organization in Africa called the Program for Christian-Muslim Relations in Africa that offered a series of workshops in Kenya for church leaders, women, and youth to support a vision of working towards a continent where Christians and Muslims promote peaceful coexistence between their communities by building their capacity to counter radicalization and violent extremism. There are 2 ways you can support our mission efforts, such as those in Kenya, Africa, and wherever there is homelessness around the world. 1, continue praying with us using the July mission prayer calendar, which is printed on the back of June's, available as you leave the sanctuary. The theme for the new month highlights needs related to hunger and water. 2, join us for the Week of Compassion dinner, a major fun, social, and fundraising event in our congregation. Please put August 14th on your calendar, and we'll start selling tickets for that next week. Thank you.
This week, our nation will pause to celebrate Independence Day, the legacy of our nation. The 4th of July is a federal holiday that commemorates the adoption of the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain on July 4th, 1776. This annual holiday is a reminder that we won our freedom from those that oppress us. Every Sunday, Christians all over the world pause to celebrate another meaningful Independence Day. Because of the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, we obtained our freedom from sin. Each time we gather as God's family, we remember the freedoms we have because of Christ. When we eat the bread and drink the juice, we understand again the idea that freedom is not free. Please join me in our hymn of communion found on page 426.
Thank you.
We gather at the table and bid welcome all who seek God's love in Christ to be found in this place. Here at the table, we meet Jesus in bread, in cup, in one another. We remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room, and while they were there, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. Jesus gave the bread to his friends and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant of my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray."
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread of life that has come down out of heaven and endures through eternal life. Christ our Lord, let us eat and drink and not be hungry or thirsty. Let us behold him and not be afraid, always trusting that those who come to him in faith will certainly not be cast out, but will be raised up on the last day. The Lord is my chosen bread and my cup. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, help us to understand the cost of our freedom. Thank you for paying the ultimate price so that we might be free from sin and death. Help us not to take for granted the wonderful freedom we enjoy because of Christ. We ask you to bless our monetary gifts for the benefit of our congregation, our church, and our nation. Amen.
Thank you.
scripture. Have scripture to read. First scripture is Psalm 16, 5 through 11. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
There are times when it is helpful to hear a text multiple times and multiple ways so that its meaning can soak in. If you would turn in the hymnal, we will read responsively the psalm that Amber has just shared for us. Page 730, we will read again Psalm 16, and there is a sung refrain. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also instructs my heart also instructs me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
Will you not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit?
You show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Our second reading today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 326 of the Old Testament. 1 Kings 19, 15 to 21. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abimelech, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. Whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Elisha returned from following Elijah, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Amber and Becky, Brent and Kim, for that beautiful music. What a wonderful sharing of Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Would you pray with me? Lord, we receive from one generation to the next the gift of Scripture, which passes on to us a legacy of hearing and knowing, being in the presence of the living Word. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, you'll remember what comes before today's lectionary reading. You'll remember that we heard about Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, there's a battle between Elijah, the Lord's prophet, and 400 prophets of the false god Baal. Elijah, one little prophet of the Lord, wins that contest to see who can actually light a fire without a match, whose sacrifice will be accepted by the living God, the presence of power. Following that contest in 1 Kings 18, Queen Jezebel, the fan of Baal and all those false prophets, decides she's going to do away with Elijah, threatens his life, and he runs away. He throws over his shoulders his little cloak and heads out into the wilderness. He almost gives up, lays down under a broom bush, and asks to die. An angel comes and cares for him, bakes bread or cake for him on a hot stone, gives him water in the desert to nourish his journey, and Elijah makes his way on to a cave, the cave on Mount Horeb, the mount where the Ten Commandments were given. If you remember the story, you know, earlier in 1 Kings 19, the earthquake comes, the wind, the fire, and God is not in any of those dramatic storms. But then there is a sound of sheer silence, a still, small voice. And at that point, Elijah knows the Lord is passing by. He steps out to the front of the cave, and that's where today's reading picks up. It's after Elijah heard that still, small voice of God that the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you'll anoint Hazael as king. You'll anoint Nimshi as king, and you'll anoint Elisha as prophet." It's always interesting, if you pay attention to the Revised Common Lectionary, where a story begins and ends. So much of Scripture is one story building on another, building on another, so it's helpful to know the context of a broader pericope or passage. If you were reading along in the New Revised Standard Version, you'll notice that the translators of this version of Scripture have a paragraph break at verse 19. They think that's where a story begins. That's where Elijah answers God's word. So he went. The lectionary takes us back to verse 15, where the Lord says, "Go." It's interesting that the lectionary, though, skips over a verse or two. We read the unedited version this morning. If you're careful and you follow the lectionary reading for today, would actually have you skip verse 17. That's that gloriously gory little passage that says, "Whoever escapes the horde of the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. Whoever escapes Jehu's sword, Elisha will kill." I think that the lectionary is trying to prepare children to stay in worship and know that it's okay for them to hear the Bible. But if you were here last week, you'll remember the story of 1 Kings is bloody and gory all the way through. After all, this encounter between Elijah and the Lord and then Elijah and Elisha takes place in the context of Queen Jezebel, who was slaughtering the Lord's prophets right and left. 100 of them went and hid out in the caves. She killed them too. Only Elijah was left, one lone prophet. So it's not surprising that there would be a little bit of retribution, that the Israelites who are telling the story say, well, God's going to get even. God will make sure that our new king will slaughter everybody else. And if he misses, the next king or the next prophet will kill anybody who had worshipped Baal. But the promise is made that there will be 7,000 who are faithful, who did not worship that false god, and they will live. So we have this story in the midst of blood and guts and gore and history. We have this story of Elijah handing on his mantle, the role of prophet, the role of leader, to Elisha. It's an interesting telling. You would think, given all that context, that Elijah would know this is a big deal. The word of the Lord comes to him after he's ran away from Jezebel, after he's hid out in the cave, after he's survived the earthquake and the wind and the fire and the rock bands and the noise and the craziness. The still small voice of God comes. You would think if all of that happened and then you're listening to God, you would think whatever God told you next would be pretty important. The word Elijah gets is, anoint Elisha to be your successor. So we're all primed and ready. We think this is going to be a big deal, right? Elijah is going to hand on the mantle of being a prophet, the leadership, the role, the cloak, the garment of faith. Elijah is going to hand it on to Elisha. And then the story is told in this way. Elisha was plowing. Elijah walked by and tossed his coat on him and kept on going. What? After all this buildup, earthquake, wind, fire, still silence, voice of God, you would expect a dramatic moment, right? And instead, we get, he set out from there, found Elisha plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen, nice little detail. He was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. Sometimes the passing on of leadership from one generation to the next is as subtle as changing your coat, as gradual, as casual, as one leader stepping out and another stepping in. Year after year in the life of our congregation, we have an election. We call forth from our midst a board chair to lead the board in the coming year. That person serves faithfully a year, 2 years, maybe three. And then someone else steps forward and leadership is passed on. Sometimes when there's a change in leadership in the church, it feels a bit more dramatic. You're expecting something like Elijah giving a mantle to Elisha. And then you get the story where it's like, yeah, just pass off the football and keep on playing. Perhaps it is told this way to remind us that what is significant about that change in leadership, that role of prophet going from one to the next, isn't the mantle itself. It isn't even the people, Elijah and Elisha. It is the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a calming message to churches. If we have a bit of anxiety, when God calls one pastor to leave and another yet to be named to come, God assures us that the Holy Spirit is present in the midst of that. You won't drop the football. You'll pick it up and keep on playing. Ministry will continue and unfold. I like the way this story is told. Another little detail that is given to us. Elijah, the prophet of God, walks by and hands on the mantle, the role of leadership, the sign of being God's chosen one, to someone who is plowing his field, going about his daily work, minding his own business. Elisha is plowing his field with 12 yoke of oxen, 12 pairs of oxen yoked to each other. That's a lot of animal power to control. We're told Elisha's walking with the 12th pair, the last number 23 and 24 of those oxen. At that moment, I would think you don't want to drop the reins and go running off after some prophet. Imagine the havoc 24 oxen could wreak in a village if they burst loose. Elisha is plowing, and Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, who just kept on going, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Think of everything Elisha is willing to leave behind to follow the Lord. He wasn't plowing with just one little tired donkey. He was apparently a fairly successful farmer. He had 24 oxen to take care of that field. It must have been a lot of ground to plow. And yet Elisha is willing to leave all of that behind. He's even willing to leave his family. "Let me kiss my mother and father goodbye, and then I'll be with you." Elijah kind of brushes him off. "Go back again. What have I done for you?" At that point, since Elisha has been dismissed, he could have just gone back to plowing, but he hasn't. The call is clear. The mantle has been passed. He will go. He will be God's next prophet, the next leader for the people. So he leaves the oxen behind. He doesn't just shirk his responsibilities, though. He takes care of things. Now, if Elisha were a practical man, he might want to hedge his bets. He might say to himself, this ministry thing, this prophet thing, this servant of the Lord thing might not work out. I'm going to come back later. He could have found a neighbor to take care of the oxen for him, but he doesn't. He liquidates all of his assets. He takes the 24 oxen and hosts the biggest barbecue the neighborhood has ever seen. He chops up the wooden yokes that have those 12 pairs bound together, builds a big bonfire, butchers all 12 pairs of animals. And then nearby, the entire village, the ranchers down the street, mom and dad and the second and third and fifth cousins, they all come for the greatest feast they have ever had. And it turns into a party. You see, God's call is not just about an individual answering when the Lord says, "Come and follow me." It's about an entire community. Everyone is there to see Elisha off. Everyone knows some of the responsibility is theirs now. Elisha can't take care of mom and dad if he's off studying with Elijah. We'll make sure to pick up the slack. The same is true in a congregation. When God calls one pastor to move to a new ministry, it doesn't mean the work stops and you put everything on hold until somebody else shows up. No. Ministry is what we do in community, all of us together. So the work continues. Think about what Elisha was willing to leave behind, and think about Elijah. It sounds so casual the way Elijah just tossed his mantle on to his soon-to-be student. And yet think of the history behind that cloak that had carried him through life. Today I'm wearing a stole that belonged to Reverend Axworthy. Betty and his daughters presented it to me after Dwayne passed. And I think of their family every time I wear it. It was made by a local quilter, and there's a story behind every block. I wonder what stories did this stole see? I wonder when did Axe wear it? How many funerals was the stole present at? How many Sundays did he wear it when he was preaching? And surely out of all those weeks, there was a time or two when the Holy Spirit stirred God's people, and there were tears and there were laughs. Elijah's mantle had seen a lot of action. A prophet's cloak will do that for you. That mantle was there when he built the altar and battled Jezebel's Baal prophets. The mantle was there when Elijah ran away from the evil queen and hid under the broom bush. The mantle, the cloak, was what Elijah was wrapped in when the angel came and ministered to him, said, "Get up, eat and drink. You need strength for the journey." That cloak, that mantle, that stole, that scarf, it trailed behind him when he climbed up Mount Horeb to go into the cave, perhaps the very cave where Moses had met God face to face. The mantle was there. Perhaps the telling of the story is such that Elijah was having a hard time letting go, and so it was easier to toss on that cloak and keep on walking. Sometimes goodbyes can be hard. Elijah was willing to give up his preeminent role as the only living prophet of the God of Israel in that moment in history to take on a student. Elisha was willing to give up his livelihood of 24 ox, the plow, the yokes, mom and dad, a village full of people, his livelihood, familiar, comfortable surroundings. He left it all behind. What are you willing to leave behind if the Lord calls? What will you let go of? Is there some old anger or resentment or hurt in your life that the Lord is asking you to lay down and turn away from, to let go of? Is there that time that you were slighted by someone and you say you've forgiven them, but you haven't forgotten it yet, and you bring it up every so often? Are you willing to leave that behind, to be open to something new that God is doing? What stuff do you need to leave behind in order to be free to move on? I have to admit this morning, it's hard for me to ask this question of Elijah and Elisha without thinking of material stuff, even though apart from the oxen, that's not really what the story is about. But you see, I've spent all week trying to pack boxes in the house and move them to the garage so the realtors will say, "Yes, you can show your house now." Last night, we met with a different realtor. We sat in the living room, and we said, "We know we need to declutter a little and clean. We're working at it." She looked around. She said, "Yeah, you need to pack up your books." I did not speak aloud the thought in my head, which was, "Lady, we've already packed 50 boxes of books in the garage. What more do you want?" Stuff. We gather stuff through life, all of us do. More clothes, more shoes than we need, more books than we have time to read, more dishes that were your mom's or your grandma's or Aunt Susie's. You never really liked her anyway, but the dishes have been in the family so long, how do you get rid of them? What stuff do you need to leave behind? More than once in the last week, I've heard my husband say to a total stranger, as we've met with these realtors, he's explained, "Well, if one of us goes on a house hunting trip in Oregon, it's going to be him. In part because he can go over a weekend, and that way I can still be here on Sunday." And he said, "But the other reason is that he's more picky than I am." Well, it's kind of true. I have to be honest, if the kitchen isn't quite big enough, I might not notice, and he would. So if Charles likes the house, we'll be good. But the way he tells the story is he says, "Oh yeah, my wife, she could like live in a hut in a rainforest and be happy." At which point I think, then why do I have 50 boxes of books in the garage? What stuff is there in your life that you need to leave behind, to give away, to throw away, to gift to someone else? And what is it about those physical signs of life that makes it hard for us to let go of them? Maybe it's the memories, like the stories Elijah had with his mantle, that make it hard to pass that on to someone else. I don't know where you are in your life today. You might, like Kim, be thinking about moving mom, and once again, there's stuff You know, you move her from a house to an apartment, you think you get rid of a lot, and then you have to move her from an apartment to a nursing home, and there's stuff again. There's stuff. But maybe for you, maybe that's not where you are today, and it's not physical stuff, but you're aware that there is a hurt in your heart that is only partway healed. And you need to pray for the time and the grace to heal it the rest of the way so you can let go and follow God. Maybe the giant barbecue wasn't just to feed the neighbors. Maybe it was so Elisha had a sign that he really was ready to let go of that farming life and see it go up in flames, because a whole new dream was unfolding and being revealed. 1 Kings is a book we don't read too often, but it's got these great, incredible stories in it about listening for the still small voice of God and about letting go and taking on new adventures. When someone who goes before you hands to you a legacy of faith, a gift of leadership, a call from God to answer, it's a pretty powerful story. There is encouragement in the fact that Elijah and Elisha, while they are biblical heroes of monumental proportion, they were also just regular folks. God called a farmer with mud, and forgive me, it's not preacher language, but he had mud and ox poop on his feet when God called him. Wow. You might think you're not up to the task the Lord has ahead of you. Well, if Elisha can do it, the rest of us probably can too. May we let go of what we need to leave behind and take on a new sign of God's presence in our lives as we accept the Lord's call into the future, whatever it may be. May it be so. May it be good. May we be faithful to the gospel. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today speaks to the legacy of passing on our faith. The text of the hymn speaks of how we share God's love with others. And the hymn itself, just the fact that it's been sung by multiple generations of church campers and passed on from parents to their kids with great affection, also has significance. Pass It On is on page 477 in your hymnal. And as we prepare to stand and sing, I invite you to think about if God is wanting to put a mantle on your shoulders, if the Lord is calling you to something new, to step out bravely, if you have not given your heart fully to Jesus and you're moved to do so this morning, you're invited to come forward. If you've been worshiping here for a while and you feel the Lord is asking you today to make First Christian your church home, then we invite you to come up as we stand and sing together. Pass It On.
Around can hold the time.
We have a chance to pass on love to one another. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs, coffee and refreshments, conversation, a chance for you to greet each other in the love of Christ. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord, you have passed on to us the gift of faith, and you call us this week to pass your love along to someone else. Keep us open to the moving of your Holy Spirit, that we would speak when you would have us to speak, and we would listen when you would have us to listen. Fill us, God, with your presence as we go forth to live, to love, to serve. In the name of Jesus, amen.